Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you here this morning. We have a full house at 10:30. At 9:30, we had, I think there was about three spaces to be filled, but there were seven of us this morning, and here there are 10 of us. So welcome to our church service. This is Sunday, May the 23rd, 2021. Lockdown number three, Sunday number five, service number two for this Sunday. We'll keep all of those titles in place. I'm glad to see you here this morning in the house of the Lord. As you read in the email that we sent out last Friday, we just can't wait for another 6 weeks before we can get back together in some manner, to worship the Lord. So we'll do this format for the next 6 weeks until we get into step number two from the premier, because step one is no change for us. It's still only 10 people indoors or outdoors. But at step two, which will be somewhere around July the 5th, we can have 15% indoors for a worship service. Or we could be outdoors, as long as everybody's 2 meters distanced from each other. But it's too big and wide open outside. So I like inside. We have air conditioning besides. So we'll be doing this for a few more weeks, and we'll just trust the Lord to carry us through all of this, and that we will enjoy each other's company for a little bit on Sundays. Also with the email, we asked that whichever service you pick, that you would keep that for the next 6 weeks. So you all are it for 10:30. Nobody signed up for 11:30. So I'll have one service off, I guess. But that's okay. I'm going to invite you to take your hymn books, turn to 625. We're going to sing the doxology. The hymn book is only if you need the words. And I'll invite you to stand, and we will sing the doxology. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this second opportunity to worship you this morning and to enjoy some fellowship one with the other. We thank you for giving us this privilege, and trust that which we think, do, and say this morning will be pleasing in thy sight. We ask, Spirit of God, that you would do your work in us, bringing conviction in our hearts and lives. Help us to pay attention to your word to us, and we just thank you that we can have the privilege of being in person, in place in our church building this day. And we just ask that you would help us in our fellowship and in our worship of thyself. Bless, we pray, in this service. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated. And number 268, God our Father, we adore thee. 268. Y'all know this one? Do you know it loud? Okay, well, I'll sing right out if you know it well. God our Father, we adore thee, we thy children bless thy name, chosen in the Christ before thee, we are holy without blame. We adore thee, we adore thee. Abba's praises we proclaim. We adore thee, we adore thee. Abba's praises we proclaim. Son eternal, we adore thee, Lamb upon the throne on high. Lamb of God, we bow before thee, thou hast brought thy people nigh. We adore thee, we adore thee, Son of God who came to die. We adore thee, we adore thee, Son of God who came to die. Holy Spirit, we adore thee, Paraclete and heavenly guest, sent from God and from the Savior, thou hast led us into rest. We adore thee, we adore thee, by thy grace forever blessed. We adore thee, we adore thee, by thy grace forever blessed. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three in one we give thee praise. For the riches we inherit, heart and voice to thee we raise. We adore thee, we adore thee, thee we bless through endless days. We adore thee, we adore thee, thee we bless through endless days. Thank you. Excellent singing this morning. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to Psalm 46 for our scripture reading this morning. Psalm 46, and we're going to read responsively. That is, I'll read the first verse, you read the second. We'll alternate until we get down to the end of the psalm at verse 11. Psalm 46. Probably a psalm of David, but the title doesn't necessarily give us that information, but we would suspect that it would have been David. To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth is the title. Alamoth probably is some kind of an instrument, I would think, that the song was played upon. So here is Psalm 146, a responsive reading this morning. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, mountains be carried, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. And let's say verse 11 together. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Selah is a musical notation. Most musicologists and theologians suggest that Selah means to pause, to stop, and think about what you've just read or what you've just sung, in the case of the Psalms. And so Selah is a point to rest. Some suggest that maybe it's a rest within the whole psalm. Just take a moment and pause and think about what you've just said. We'll ask the Lord to bless the reading of his word to our hearts and minds this morning. We have some special music for you. I'm not sure if you are familiar with Majesty Music. The Hamiltons, Ron and Shelley, I'm pretty sure Shelley is his wife. Ron passed away a few years ago, the Hamiltons, and they've done a lot of beautiful music, writing, and songs, and melodies. Patch the Pirate, is one of their creations. I found this song composed by Shelley Hamilton, sung by whoever their singers are that sing their music in Majesty Music. The song is entitled, "Fear Not, I Am With You." Now, the video is very interesting because it's just showing the sheet music, right? And moves along as they sing. You can see the words, but you can also see the notes. So if you like musical notes, you can follow along, play your invisible piano along with what notes are there. But enjoy the presentation more than anything. Focus in on the words that are being said. Now, the video is not the greatest copy, but I trust that it will be okay to listen to.
Oh,
Nice, wasn't it? Wonderful song. And great truth. Don't need to fear. The Lord is with us. So thank you, Majesty Music people. For our announcements, they're in the bulletin, and we had some bulletins there for you to pick up this morning. It's also posted on the website as well, if you could find it, Rose, on the website. It's the same one, but you also have one there in hand. If you have your offering this morning, the plates here at the front are available for you. Dave Emmons was here in the first hour, so I told him I would bring whatever offerings came in now, I would take over to his house after the service. So you can help yourself to that. Our missionary of the month is Brenda Moores, Jacques and Jeanette over in Terrebonne, Quebec, church planting. Please keep them in your prayers in these days. They're going through the same thing, although Quebec, I hear, is going to be reopening very soon, maybe a little quicker than Ontario, I'm not sure. But just keep the Brenda Moores in your daily prayers. As we mentioned about the new reopening strategy, it will keep us at 10 people until step two, which is probably somewhere in the neighborhood of July the 5th, another 6 weeks away. So as I said in the email, we can't wait that long. It's just unacceptable to not be together in some way or other. So we will keep to this format with the two services. If others think that they want to come along, well, there's a few spots in the 9:30, but they'll have to wait till 11:30 if that is of interest to them. So we'll trust the Lord that he'll use these times to encourage us and to help us grow. Also, let's continue to pray for the peace of Israel. Thankfully, there is a ceasefire treaty between Israel and Hamas, but many lives have been lost. Much property has been damaged. Thank the Lord for the military defense system that Israel has, the Iron Dome, that shot down a lot of those rockets before they hit the ground, but many of the ones from Hamas, over 4,000 over the course of those days, about 6 days, I think. Some of them fell through, and some were killed in Israel, but then when Israel retaliated and defended themselves and tried to destroy all of Hamas' infrastructure, all of their ammunition dumps. They tried blowing up a lot of the tunnels that they had. Obviously, there were some more civilian casualties as well as some military terrorist casualties as well. What's very interesting is Hamas shooting rockets into Israel, they didn't care where they landed, anywhere. Didn't matter who they killed. Israel, when they came in to take care of Hamas, to destroy their infrastructure and ammunition dumps and stuff, always sent word in that people had 5 or 10 minutes or whatever to get out because we're going to bomb the place. And so they gave them fair warning, which Hamas did not do at all. So I'm glad that there's a ceasefire, but we need to continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I think this latest round of a battle just helps to point us even more to the time that Christ is going to come back to rescue save his people. We're getting to a point where the whole world is against Israel now. There have been protests and all kinds of stuff in almost every country around the world against Israel for simply trying to defend themselves. And I heard just recently that President Biden says that the only solution to peace in the Middle East is a two-state solution. Well, that's not God's solution. There's only one state of Israel in all of that land, not two. And so even there are voices within the U.S. government that are certainly anti-Semitic and calling for a removal of support and monies to Israel. So I think the U.S. probably is one of the last countries in the world that supports Israel's right to exist, but it looks like that's fast losing ground as well. So we know that when Christ returns at the end of the tribulation, it'll be the whole world, all nations will be there to wipe out Israel. And of course, the events will turn very drastically when Christ comes, because he'll wipe them all out and save his people. So just we'd ask that you keep those things in mind. The folks who have recently had falls are doing well. They're coming along, getting better. Continue to pray for Judy Prout with her four broken ribs, and trust the Lord will knit those bones properly, and that they'll all be able to be up and around once again, that all the scrapes and bruises will heal up, and they'll be feeling better. So if you would join me just for a few moments of prayer, I'll pray out loud. You can be praying in your heart concerning some of these matters, maybe some other things that come to mind. Certainly want to be in prayer for our governing leaders, for wisdom, righteousness to prevail, for humility on their part, and some common sense, it seems to me, that that they would operate under for the best interest of, particularly for us in Ontario. Let's pray. Father, once again, we bow in your presence. We are thankful that we can turn to you, that we have a refuge and a safety and a security that is there in under your arms, under your wings. And thank you that we can know you as our personal Savior by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that there is no fear in our lives because we belong to you and you are in us, and we thank you for that. We continue to pray for our country, and particularly our province, even today with this new three-step strategy to reopen. Just seems like an inadvertent way to extend the lockdown, it seems to me. But nonetheless, we look forward to the day when we will be able to gather together, all together once again, and be face-to-face with each other here in the house of the Lord to worship you. In the meantime, I pray for wisdom, for discernment, for a sense of righteousness to prevail in the minds of our premier and others who are associated with him in all of this, and that they would do that which is right in your eyes and right for the citizens of our province. We pray for them always, that you would give them that insight and common sense. We pray for our missionaries of the month, Brindamores over in Quebec. We thank you so much for them, for the privilege to be able to support them once again as they seek to plant this church in Terrebonne. We do pray for Jacques and Jeanette, that you would keep them safe, keep them trusting in you and in contact with all of their folks by whatever means they have possible. And we pray that you'll just continue to bless in that church and bless the Brindamores, keep them ever close to thyself, and that you would help them and grant fruit for their labor as they serve you in that place where you have planted them. We thank you for your goodness to all of us who are part of Berean Baptist in these days. For those who are struggling with some health issues, we know that you are aware of all of those, and we just simply ask that you would do that which is your will to do in their lives and bring them to full health and strength once again. And we want to give you praise and glory for how you keep us, how you provide for us as a church family as well as individuals, and that, Lord, you would bring glory to your own name for that which you do in our midst these days. We do pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that you would protect your people in Israel. We thank you, Lord, that there was not any more death than there was through all the thousands of rockets that went from Gaza into Israel, and then with Israel bombing places in Gaza. We know that many died, and that's unfortunate, but we just thank you that not as many died as could have. And so we pray that you'll continue to provide protection for your people. We pray for all those little skirmishes happening in towns between Arabs and Jews. As a result of all of this, we pray that peace might prevail for them as well. They'll be able to get some things under control once again. Thank you for just your concern for your world and your people and us, And we thank you, Lord, for your grace in our lives as well. Thank you for your people, and I thank you for each one here in this church for their generosity and for their giving of tithes and offerings to you through this local church. And we thank you for using them to provide for the needs of the ministry of our church. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, and we love you. And thank you for this opportunity we have to be together this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We have the prayer chorus in the hymn book. It will be worth it all. Just stay seated, and we will sing, It Will Be Worth It All. What did I say? In the hymn book. It should be in the hymn book, but it's not. It's in the bulletin. So I invite you to turn to that, and we'll just sing together one time. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Thank you. That's good singing this morning. This morning, this morning's message is on overcoming fear. Last Sunday, we talked about peace. If you were able to listen to the message online last week, we talked about peace, and it was at that time that we considered that a couple of truths. Scriptures say that there is no peace to the wicked, saith the Lord in Isaiah 48:22. No peace to the wicked. But we do find that for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is peace. We can have peace with God through salvation and faith in Christ. Romans 5 verse 1, we learned, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So for the wicked, there's no peace, but for us who believe in Christ, we do have peace with God. That is reconciliation with God. There's no more enmity between us and our Lord. And because of that peace of reconciliation, we can also have, then, peace in our hearts. We can have peace in our minds, peace in our souls. No matter what the circumstances might be, we as Christians, as saints, the saved, can have peace. And we are counseled by the Word of God that when we do get anxious or worry, none of you do that, do you? But in those few times when we might be anxious, when we worry, we have an avenue to find peace, and that is to go to God in prayer, make our requests and our petitions. And we're told that the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. That's Philippians 4, verse 7. And because we have peace with God, we can also have peace between ourselves and those who are around us. As Christians, we are to be at peace amongst ourselves, within congregation. You all are supposed to be at peace amongst yourselves. 1 Thessalonians 5:13 says, and to esteem, Paul writing to the Thessalonians, to esteem them, that is the pastors of their church, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves, he says. We can also be at peace with our enemies. Do you realize that? Proverbs 16, verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. So you want peace with your enemies? Just be faithful to the Lord. Let your ways be pleasing in his sight. And even our whole mindset and focus on life and living must be to be at peace with others around us, and to do those things that make for peace with others. In Romans 12:18, we learned, if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That might take a little bit more effort for some of you than others, but we are to make every effort, as much as lieth in you, if it be possible, live peaceably with all men, not just the people you like, but all men. As well, Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. So, how have you been doing with that? Living peaceably and extending peace to others around you. I trust that we all would follow through on those exhortations given to us concerning peace. Now, this morning, I thought it would be good to consider the other side of peace, specifically that being the sense of fear. Fear often causes a lack of peace, doesn't it? Fear causes a lack of peace. When I was much younger, back in elementary school, every time that we would have to give a speech in class, I would panic and fret and worry and be sick to my stomach for weeks before I knew I had to give that speech in class. I did not like standing up in front of people to say anything. It was not my comfort zone, that's for sure. I lived in fear for weeks before the day I had to do it. I didn't have any confidence in my memory because you had to memorize your speech, and I was always afraid I would get up there and then forget what it was that I had written to say and then, you know, embarrass myself in front of all my smiling classmates. You had to memorize the speech. I died 1,000 deaths every time I had to give a speech. It was awful. It was awful. And things didn't get much better in high school or even in college. I went to Mohawk College in Hamilton for a 3-year architectural technology course. And in my third year, the last year, we had a major project that took us basically the whole year to do. We had to design and do all the drawings, all the specs and everything for a senior's housing complex, a high rise. And we had to do site plan drawings and the whole bit. But the final part of that project was to give a presentation of our plans and so on to a panel made up of architects from the city of Hamilton, engineers, city planners, and I forget who else was there, but there was a crowd of maybe 6-8 men and women that we had to, my classmate and I had to give a presentation of our project to them. Well, for weeks before, I mean, we had our drawings and everything done. They looked pretty good, and it was a well laid out building and plan. But for weeks before we had to do this presentation, I was a basket case. I was really nervous and fearful. My stomach was in knots. 4 weeks up to and including the time that we had to do that. Well, I must have done okay because I passed the course and we got good grades for our presentation, and I did receive my diploma to be an architectural technologist at the end of the school year. So with all of that, you can imagine what was going on in my stomach, my heart, and my head when I had to preach my first sermon. That was worst of all, because I'm dealing with the Word of God now, sitting in a small congregation. My first sermon that I ever preached in a church service was over at Westminster Hope Baptist Church, now Summerside Community, in, I think it was August or September of 1983. I was just starting my third year of Bible school here at London, and Dr. David Barker was the pastor at the church, and he asked me to come along and assist him at Westminster Hope. And in order for the church to call me, I had to preach a message. Oh, it was awful. I don't think I got any sleep that night or a few nights beforehand. But it must have gone okay because they did call me to be the assistant. And then when Dr. Barker resigned, they asked me to step up into that role, which we did for another couple of years. And so with all of my fear of public speaking, what do you think the Lord leads me into doing? Preaching and pastoring churches. And for almost 40 years now, we've been serving the Lord in this way. And His grace has always been sufficient to give strength to do what needs to be done. And I thank Him for that. Some verses, fear could be so debilitating and crushing sometimes, can't it? You've got your own, perhaps, experiences that you recall. The Bible has a lot to say about fear. The word fear itself occurs some 400 times in our Bibles. And the word fear with all of the other forms, like feareth, fearest, and feared, that kind of thing, all of the forms, fear occurs 524 times in the Bible. 403 times in the Old Testament, 121 in the New. So there's lots of things to learn about fear in the Scriptures. Some verses encourage us to not fear, right? Like in Psalm 46, we will not fear. They are, but some verses encourage us to fear. Fear not or fear, which is it? Can be sometimes confusing on the surface. But when you keep the statements in context, they all become very clear about what they are exhorting and why and what the meaning of fear really is. I want to play you a short clip. It's just about 4 minutes long by a man named Eric Luddy. Luddy, I think, is how it's pronounced. He is pastor and director at a retreat center called Ellerslie in Windsor, Colorado. I just want to play a short clip from his introduction entitled We Will Not Fear. The whole message is an hour and a half long. So you thought I was long-winded. He was an hour and a half. Now, I don't think it was just a regular church service. I think it was a conference center time kind of thing. So here's his message. Have a listen, and I hope this works okay.
We will not fear. I've gone back and forth, and if this is the best title for this. It's a good title, but it needs to be shouted, not just read. See, it doesn't read very well. And you need to have a huge emphasis, like make them all caps, on will not in the middle. We will not fear. Now, most of you in here know that fear is not supposed to be a part of the Christian life. Some of you, that might be new information. If you hang around Ellerslie for any length of time, I'm going to play that message one way or the other every 6 months or so. You're going to have a clear understanding that fear is not a part of the Christian life. So many of us in here have at least accepted that, and we've seen some massive breakthroughs. Some of us that were addicted to anxiety and would always turn to it, fear, foreboding, fretting, seen massive change in our lives in that area. However, there can oftentimes still be a residue of low-lying fear that just sort of sits there in our life. And we accept it because, well, look, I mean, I've taken such great steps forward. You can't expect 100% freedom from something, can you? We do this in a lot of areas in our life, too. In other words, because you know how gross it was in your past, you have a tendency to accept the less gross state that you may be in now. And I just want to, as a fresh lecture to each of our souls, say that there is no allowance for darkness at any level. There is no residue that is allowed to be there. There are certain things that the fungus of the kingdom of darkness can grow on, and that is disobedience to the king. And when we do not stand in perfect alignment with the word of God expressed, then fungus, or in our case, fear, can grow. Fear is merely the result of the lack of God's truth permeating our life, because truth makes free. God does not give the spirit of fear. He is not the one that is giving foreboding and fretting and anxiety. That is a result of a departure from a clear alliance with the Word of God. God speaks, we say, it's true. And then all fear is cast out. When you live in light of truth, fear has no breeding ground. None. So as we go through this, it's just a very fascinating exercise for the soul to behold how we oftentimes will diminish God's word. Not intentionally, but we will just subtly push it down. There's something about fear that makes us feel like we're doing something. Makes us feel active in the situation. Whereas strict believing in the word of God doesn't always seem to be the most sufficient answer. I need to do something. I need to fret. I need to be anxious about this. Instead of just resting and saying, God said it. Isn't that enough for all of us? He promised. We will not fear. I'll show you where I got that from. Psalm 46:2. We will not fear. Now, I'm going to give you the full context for that as we move forward. But what a statement. We will not fear. Speaking of the Jewish nation, the Hebrew nation that has been given the promises of Almighty God. We will not fear. Whoa, could you imagine an army marching into battle with that? We will not fear.
Energetic individual, isn't he? But that gives us a good introduction to overcoming fear, which is the title for the message this morning. We will not fear. The larger context of that verse, which he's going to take another hour and a half to get through, is in the verses surrounding verse 2. It says, though the earth, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. Think on those things. And why? Why will we not fear? Because, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. When the whole created earth is in upheaval and in turmoil, we need not fear. God is in control, and he is our refuge and our strength and our help. And when you think about it, that's just awesome, that we don't have to fear anymore. Now, you might get a little scared when the earth starts moving and an earthquake strike, but you don't need to fear the consequences of it, do you? What would happen if in some earthquake, you ever been in an earthquake? We've had some minor ones around London, I remember, over the years that we've been in London, but I certainly would not want to live down in Southern California where earthquakes are so prevalent. But you don't need to fear the shaking of the earth or the consequences of it, because if one should die during an earthquake, because of an earthquake, what happens for the believer? We go home to be with the Lord, right? Nothing to fear about that. So it's, I think, perhaps a learned sense, and it's also a sense that is built into us by none other than the Holy Spirit of God. And so we don't need to fear the natural world around us and the things that are going on. And there's supposed to be a new blood moon happening, I think, the 25th and 26th. People up in the Arctic area will be able to see it. What do they call it? When the moon is so close to the earth. It's going to be big anyways. And it's going to be an eclipse, a lunar eclipse as well. So the moon is supposed to turn the color of blood. Haven't heard too much about that from some areas of the Christian faith, but that's supposed to happen. But we don't need to fear any of those things. And in a related sense, we don't even have to fear men around us. You don't have to fear man. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Answer? No one. Nothing. The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one. When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. You don't have to fear, man, because we belong to the Lord. There are so many other verses in the scriptures like this, confidently confessing no fear of earthly upheaval or enemies or anyone, may they be dictators, thugs, murderers, or worse. We do not need to be afraid of them. Interesting word, afraid, because it's obviously related to fear. The word afraid occurs 193 times in our Bible. And do you know where the very first place is where the word afraid occurs? It's in Genesis 3, verse 10. Genesis 3, verse 10. You'll recall, God created Adam in his own likeness, in his image. He saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, so he put Adam to sleep, took a rib from his side, made a woman, called her Eve because she was the mother of all living. And God brought them together in a marriage covenant, and he said, you two are now one flesh, be fruitful and multiply. And then we come to chapter 3 with the subtle serpent who deceived Eve into eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The same tree that God said, if you eat that fruit, the day you eat that fruit, you will surely die. The Hebrew says, dying, you will die. We know that as soon as Adam ate that fruit, he died spiritually. His sin cut him off from the life of God. Sin separated him from God, him and Eve as well. And all of us who have ever descended from Adam and Eve also are born with that Adamic nature where we are separated from God because of sin. Remember that the Lord used to walk in the garden with Adam and Eve, and they would chat in the cool of the evening. And one day, God came down to the garden and intended to walk and talk with Adam and Eve and any other children that they may have had in the garden. And he couldn't find them. He said, where are you, Adam? Adam, hiding from in the bushes, said, here I am. And God basically said, what are you doing there? Well, Genesis 3:10 says, and he, Adam, said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. This is Adam talking to God, his creator, in the garden, just after he had eaten the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam was afraid for the first time in his life, and fear only came because he had sinned against the Lord. So, Christian, when we are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven and removed from us. There is no more enmity between us and God. We do not need to fear anything because sin has been taken away. We now belong to God and reconciled to him. We need not fear anything that is around us. And I would say to you that we need to acknowledge that this kind of fear does not come from God. Right? It does not come from God. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 is from the Apostle Paul to his young associate, son in the faith, Timothy. In 2 Timothy 1 7, Paul says, for God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of power, Greek word is dunamis, the power to act, and of love, Greek word is agape, a selfless giving type of love, and thirdly, of a sound mind. So phronismos is the Greek word, and basically means discipline, moderation, self-control. So the sound mind is a mind that is under control. So he hasn't given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us the spirit of power, of love, and a sound mind. Three things. And when those three things are in place, the first thing, fear, will be displaced in our lives. Another important verse in this matter is 1 John 4:18, which says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Very interesting. So fear does not come from God, right? Rather, he has given us the spirit of power. And where does that spirit of power come from? It's the Holy Spirit, who indwells our very bodies as Christians, as believers in Christ, and in our church as well. And when he is in place and we submit to him and come under his rule and leading, that power that he gives to us then will eradicate fear in our lives. The spirit of agape love, which is choosing to do what is good and right and helpful to others with no expectation of return. It's an act of the will, not the emotions. It's the God kind of love. Well, when that's in place, it will dispel fear in our lives. And he's given us a spirit of a sound mind. The discipline that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the ninth part of the fruit of the Spirit is, modern versions have self-control. King James has, what is it? Temperance. Thank you, Rose. Temperance. That's self-control. That's part of the thing that the Spirit of God is seeking to develop within us. And when we cultivate that fruit that he has in us, then it will dispel all fear. So we are able to overcome fear in our lives by setting our refuge and strength in the Lord God, by submitting to the Holy Spirit and yielding control of our lives to him. Remember Ephesians 5:18, don't be drunk with wine, which is wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When he's controlling us, then there will be no fear. We can overcome fear by expressing agape love, both to God and to our brothers and sisters in Christ, to our friends and loved ones and family around us, and yes, even to our enemies as well. If you have any, you can express your love to them. It will help to make fear disappear. And then also by exercising self-control and discipline in our lives, a part of the fruit of the Spirit, but it's also related to the Word of God as well in our lives. Just like Mr. Ludi says, fear is not an option. If we will line ourselves up with what God has revealed in his Word, then there should be no fear in our lives. Again, that is part of the fruit of the Spirit, and we are to be filled with the Spirit. And that word filling is in a present tense in the Greek language, which means ongoing action all the time. We need to be constantly filling ourselves with the Spirit. We can do it. As Christians, we can do it. We can overcome fear and live without it. And so may I encourage all of us this morning, let us not live in fear of anything. Any circumstances, any virus, any lockdowns, or anything that would try to make us afraid. I'm not so fearful anymore when I'm preaching. I've had a little bit of experience in it now. But in another sense, I do fear still preaching. And that's more of the positive side of fear. We want to trust the Lord Let his love flow from us to others, not give in to any fear. But then there are exhortations in the scriptures that tell us to fear, which is what fear I am under when we come to preach the word of God. But our time's done, so we'll look at that next time, the positive side of encouragement to fear. What is that? What does it mean? And how can we do those things? Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your word this morning. We thank you that through our faith and trust in thyself, the reconciliation that we have with you, no more sin in our lives because Christ has washed it away, that there need no longer be any fear in our lives as well. And I pray that those times and moments when we do sense anxiousness and worry, that we might heed the directions of your word to pray and to bring our requests and make our and ask our petitions of the Lord, and that we will find as we do so that the peace of God will help us and keep our hearts through the Lord Jesus, and we need not to fear. We pray that you would exercise us always to that end, and Father, not for any kind of point for ourselves, but really to live lives of fearlessness so that others around us might see that and see what the Spirit of God can do in our lives as we yield to him and as we trust Christ. May it be a good testimony to others around us who perhaps live in fear of many things in these days. Help us, Father, to always be a good testimony for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for your word. Pray you'll bless it to our bodies this morning. Bless it to our hearts and minds, and to the lack of fear in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for your kind attention this morning. We're going to sing one more time before we dismiss, seeing as how we don't have anybody else coming in at 11:30. I went a little overtime this morning, just now, but we'd like to close by singing the little chorus at number 492. We sang this last week to close the service. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. 492. And I invite you to stand, and we will sing. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. When the shadows come and darkness falls, he giveth inward peace. Oh, he is the only perfect resting place. He giveth perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Thank you for being here today. Hope that it's been helpful and encouraging for you. I trust that you will have a nice rest of the day. And just keep in mind that you are the 10:30 group each Sunday for now, for the next 6 weeks, until we're able all to come together, hopefully early in July. And trust that the Lord will just bless you and keep you through the rest of this week. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for giving us the privilege to gather together in your presence to worship you and to fellowship together for a little bit. I thank you for each one that is here today. I ask that now you would dismiss us with your blessing. Watch over us until we meet again, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, folks. We are dismissed.